This morning, we begin a new series of sermons entitled Created to be Generous. We'll take the next 5 weeks to explore what it means to be generous in community, openly, in good works, as saints and as givers. It's already in the first chapter, in the first book of the Bible, in just two verses Karen read for us. We have the most incredible revelation about our own creation. When God was creating humanity, we were created in God's image. That is to say, each and every one of us is thereby a reflection of God. We unpacked a little bit of this last week as we considered world communion and the diversity of God's creation. And we also talked about how this was God's character when we learn how we are created. God's character that is full, and we could spend a lifetime, may we, learning who God is. God created us in God's image. God, who is generous, also calls us to live into that image. Please excuse me. The opposite of generosity is fear. God reminds us again and again that Jesus came to give us life and life abundant. One of the most common phrases in the Bible is, do not be afraid. It's there because we need to hear it again and again. In abundance, we cannot help but be generous. We cultivate that abundance through our generosity. We cultivate scarcity through our fear. This scarcity is when, and it might be familiar to you, it's familiar to me, we're worried that we might not have enough to eat on a given day. And we couldn't possibly imagine sharing that bit of what we have with others who are trying to figure out what to eat. What little there is must be for us. Our gospel lesson catches Jesus as he's on the way. The way was also the name given to those looking for Jesus. Long before there was a church with pews and committees, there was a way of how to follow Jesus. A way that indicated discipleship was a journey and a process, not necessarily something to be achieved, but to be strived after. So as Jesus was on the way, a man came and presented himself wanting to be a disciple of Jesus. We've often called him the rich young ruler. He had lived an upright life, and the would-be disciple we hear is lacking only one thing, were it to be. Many of us would be lacking much more, but were it to be. He goes away hearing he's lacking one thing. And we're not sure how his story ends. We get this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, but we don't hear exactly what he does. We hear that he has grieved. Now, has he grieved because he's not sure if he could do the thing Jesus called him to do? Does he grieve and immediately turn around, repent, and go and give it all away and follow Jesus? Does he grieve for a month? Contemplate his options, and then decide this is probably the best one, and follow Jesus? Does he get to know, I wonder, God's abundance? I'm pretty sure that question isn't just for the rich young ruler, but for you and me as well. As we think about those who seek the way, in Exodus we have people gathered together. Moses imparting the words to the people of God, the people you remember who have been liberated from the Egyptians, led through the wilderness, following God through Moses, and now are ready to build a tabernacle to that God who liberated them. The people who are called to give their brooches and their gold and their silver, the very resources that they have. The writer goes to great length, did you notice? To help us to understand this offering is of the heart. It's a free will offering, not that which is obliged or coerced. Now you need to know in context, there were multiple offerings the people could offer to God. A sin offering and a peace offering, a trespass offering, a burnt offering. And if you read through, you see there are very specific times in which these are offered with very specific ways of doing so. The passage in Exodus, though, describes a free will offering, a willing heart and a generous soul. In the earliest days, the rabbis began to think about what it would be like when the Messiah would come. You and I understand that to be Jesus. The rabbis said that when the Messiah comes, there's no need for most of the offerings. We don't offer burnt offerings today, but there will always, the rabbi said, be need of a free will offering. We will always speak out of our hearts. We will always have a need to generously thank God and to offer to one another. The rabbis discerned even years and years, generations ago, we have a need to be generous. It's how God has created us. There's a story that's told that one day a beggar by the side of the road asked for alms from Alexander the Great. Now, the beggar was poor and wretched, had no claim upon the ruler. You can imagine he could have just walked right by, probably charioted right by. But the emperor threw him some coins. The courtier was astonished by this generosity and said, "Sir, a couple of coppers would have fit his needs just fine." Alexander the Great responded, "Copper coins would have suited the beggar's needs, but gold coins suited my need to give to him." We who are created to be generous have a need to give. When we are not living into who God has called us to be, it's like walking around in the wrong sized shoes. If they're too big, we're constantly tripping over ourselves and can't get into a comfortable pace of walking. If they're too small, we're cut off. You know, that way in which when you take off your socks, you realize that they're much too small, and we find pain in each and every step. When we walk around in the shoes that fit us just right, we can dance and we can be nimble. As those who are created in the image of God, each time we live in scarcity, as those who are fearful they might not have enough, we find our temperament changes as well. We need to know exactly how everything transpired. When we live in a model of scarcity, we have few words of praise for our loved ones. We cannot serve others because there's always work that we have to do first. When we cannot give of our financial resources because we will be without whatever the need might be, We find ourselves like people walking around in shoes that don't quite fit. Each time we give in to the behaviors of scarcity, we find ourselves disconnected from God and lacking, ready to cry out in our souls. Said differently, when we live as generous people, regardless of how many zeros are in our bank accounts, we know joy and contentment. When we live as those terrified of scarcity, we find ourselves snapping at one another, a bit grouchy and a bit grumpy, or at least that's the way it looks in my house, maybe not in yours. So I wonder if you found yourself in that place, occasionally snapping at the ones you love most, neglecting your time with God, wishing that people would just stop bothering you already. Maybe that's just me. Consider, have you been living fully into God, who God called you to be? Have your words been filled with praises and affirmations? Have your hands been put to the work of serving others? Has your mind been filled with pleasant and generous thoughts? If the answer for you is yes, I give thanks to God for the ways in which you have responded to God's call in your life. May you model for the rest of us how to do this. If you're anything like me, and you can't exactly say yes to all of those, I imagine we're in good company, and I imagine we need to remind ourselves about how to get on the way that God has given us. And this might just be that time to cultivate the generosity that God has already created us for. This is how healthy relationships are built and strengthened. This is how communities are built and strengthened. This is how the kingdom of God is built and strengthened. Now, in each one of these sermons in this series, I will help us with a challenge. How is it that we might live more as God's generous people? So for this week, I challenge you and me as well to ask God, how can you be more generous? God's generosity that reflects through our words and our thoughts, our actions and our sharing of possessions and finances, resources, and our hearts. God's generosity that always points back to God. So because I know this could be something that you and I nod our heads at and go off and drink coffee and not think about again, I'm going to invite us at this point to pause, to have some time in prayer, and then I'll conclude. Let us be in prayer. Amen. I can hardly look forward to the ways in which God is already answering the prayers that you have just asked. I hope that as you have just asked God, how can I be more generous, that you will share it with someone else, that they will hold you accountable to it. I hope you'll consider sharing it with me. I'm looking forward to some emails and text messages, Facebooks, letters, and just the good old conversation that I can be in prayer for you too. I'm in prayer already for how God might be calling us, God's people, created to be generous, to be a generous church. Now for me, as I prayed throughout the week, and I'm going to put it out there so you can hold me accountable. As I prayed throughout the week about what is God calling me to be more accountable about, I'm making a commitment to be more generous in my speech. I know that I'm not always my best self when I'm snappy with those I love best. It was a challenging day this week when a friend from high school posted on a Facebook post to me that reminded me about God's generosity and reminded me about hope. Our speech matters so much. Friends, we are created to be generous. God calls us to give it all. How do we do that on this day? Or do we find ourselves like the young ruler, still grieving that we lack one thing? Let us embrace the challenge that Jesus gives us today and follow with our whole lives. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.